T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Bowerly, Tom Bowerly, on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, by this rate, we'll have herd immunity by 2025, and we will be quadruple masking. I'm convinced of it. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you on a Friday. And frankly, I must tell you, emotionally, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I'm glad this week is coming to an end. This has been a very difficult week for so many people around the United States and for so many people in Western New York. It's been extraordinarily difficult. In our area, we caught word earlier this week that somebody who was a radio legend, one of those transcendent talents, passed away. Shane Brother Shane died. And, that was a big blow to a lot of people. There are a lot of people here who either work here or who have worked here, such as myself, Sandy Beach. You know, we knew Shane Brother Shane. He wasn't just a voice on the radio to us. He was somebody we knew. And I was quite taken with many of the phone calls we had when it was announced that Shane had died of a heart attack at 78 in Richmond, Virginia. The thing that got me the most about your stories about Shane, the level of expertise that Shane Brother Shane brought to pretty much every endeavor he attempted was truly astonishing. See, most of us think of Shane Brother Shane as, yes, the legendary radio guy. But what you didn't know, or you might not have known about Shane Brother Shane, is there was so much more to him. He really was a Renaissance man. He was phenomenally brilliant, incredibly talented, and it wasn't just confined to radio. His dad, I didn't know this, but his dad was a professional boxer. He told us that when he called into the show on September 25th of last year. And Shane was, for all intents and purposes, a multi-level black belt in self-defense. He didn't like to tell the story an awful lot, but there was one night back in the 70s in downtown Buffalo. I guess some people didn't really much care for the Cosmic Cowboy, and they picked a fight with Shane Brother Shane. And it didn't end up well. There were like 3 or 4 guys who came after Shane, and he laid them all out. And he wasn't, like, happy about it. He was not a violent man. He was incredibly physically strong. You'd look at Shane, and you'd think to yourself, well, here's this wiry sprig of a man. What could he possibly do to me? And he could topple giants with his physical strength. Intellectually, he was a marvel, a truly stunning marvel. Charismatically, he had something that is very hard to put into words. I mean, I feel bad about the one guy who called in who wanted to tell a story about Shane, but it was the day Rush had died, and I didn't want to get off the Rush the Rush conversation because I had to make a snap judgment and I just didn't think it would be appropriate, but I didn't want anybody thinking that was out of any disrespect for Shane Brother Shane. And in addition, I've got a great text from a friend here whose brother was a big shot in local radio a while back, that hopefully I'll have a chance to read a little bit later on. But as I said, this week is coming to a close, and of course the big story for most of us numerically in the United States, I mean, Shane Brother Shane was a Buffalo treasure, and a few other markets as well. Rush Limbaugh, a national treasure, and he died shortly after Shane Brother Shane did. And it's been a really, it's been a rough week, but on a personal level, friends of mine are going through a difficult time because this is the anniversary of the death of a child. And I guess the takeaway from all of the events that we've experienced this week, and whether or not you remember or knew Shane Brother Shane, or I suppose whether or not you loved or disliked Rush Limbaugh, truly a sad week. I mean, anybody with any shred of humanity would agree. Very, very sad week. We've lost a lot of people. And then, you know, there are people going through their own stuff with spouses who died, friends who died. Some of you had to euthanize pets. Unfortunately, sadness is a part of our existence on this planet. And over time, it doesn't get any easier to deal with the sudden announcement that somebody you love is no longer here. But over the long run, the immediate sting will fade in most cases. And hopefully we'll get to the point with everybody we lose where we can smile and remember remember the good memories and get out of the depths of cellar sadness and into the light of happiness and healing and trying to see the affirmative value of the people that we've lost. And didn't plan on starting off the show this way, but I felt some things had to be said that I wanted to say, and I said them. But now let's get to the interesting part of the show where I don't think. Joining us right now on News Radio 930 WBEN with breaking news from the law firm of Hogan Willig. Full disclosure, my daughter is an attorney there, but he doesn't pay me for this, is Corey Hogan. Corey Hogan, Hogan Willig. Corey, thanks very much for being with us.
As always, Tom, it's a pleasure to be there. And I wanted to say something about your daughter. She's doing all my work now, so I've just been kind of sitting around doing nothing.
Well, hey, as long as the billable hours are racking up and you're happy, I'm happy, she's happy, that's good.
It's a great combination.
Indeed. So a lot of people, and it's kind of a patchwork situation we have, a lot of people, Corey, want their kids back at school. And what are you guys doing legally right now? What are you putting together to get our children back in school?
Yeah, Tom, this has been a long time coming, and it's really a shame because at the end of the day, these kids that are in K through 12 are kind of the forgotten victims. And they're the ones in the long run that are going to be paying the price. Increased depression, increased suicides, lack of socialization. It's a brutal, brutal, brutal. There'll be kids with PTSD like my generation of guys came back from Vietnam. So finally, we're going to get to a point where we just had it. We're going to get these kids back into public schools. The evidence is overwhelming, that there's no danger to teachers. There's not been a single case of viral transmission from a student to a teacher that has resulted in a teacher's death anywhere that we can find in this country and maybe even in the world. So I understand certain teachers are maybe in the vulnerable population and maybe they shouldn't go back to school, but you cannot punish all these kids and do all this damage any longer. There's a good article that just came out, which is also true in the Wall Street, talked about herd immunity, and that this thing will be pretty much on the downswing by April. We've been looking at those numbers for the last 6 months, and it's absolutely true. The real truth of it is that probably between 50 and 60% of all Americans have had COVID-19, and it's probably higher in New York. It's probably between 60 and 70%, and that's without vaccinations. So there's no longer a reason to keep these kids, to punish them. It's time to let these kids go back to school and get educated and resume their socialization. So we're going to be filing lawsuits on behalf of a number of districts that have already we've spoken with, retained us, and we hope to have at least one or two or three different districts filed by next week. And we're going to keep on going until these kids get back in the classroom.
All right, now let's just walk through this a little bit. What you know, when Steve Cohen and Diane and you've been on the air previously, you know, the whole idea of like a class action of petitioners going against Governor Cuomo's bar and restaurant edicts, you know, that coalition was basically formed as a result of your appearances on this program. And all the restaurants and bars got together and formed this group of petitioners. And obviously that fight has been going back and forth. Are you hoping, as a result of our conversation today, to get parents from various districts to form a similar group of petitioners in each district to go after and get these schools reopened?
Yeah, I was on a Zoom call with about 100 parents last night from a number of different districts, Grand Island, Clarence, Williamsville, Lewiston-Porter. And, you know, it would be, from our perspective, we need parents to basically say, we've had enough. We're not going to let our kids get damaged anymore. Almost like a CPS, a Child Protective Services claim, because if the teachers are not willing to go out of their way and say, you know what, we have an obligation to these kids, when the parents have to do it. It's so wrong to allow this to go on any longer. There's no good excuse for it. The unions are going out of their way to try to come up with explanations as to why it's not going to work. Look what happened in the Buffalo schools. They've been back for 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's 2 weeks now. There's not a problem. The teachers didn't want to go back because they were talking about dust on the, you know, on the windowsill, and I'm exaggerating that. But there's no legitimate reason to let these kids get hurt anymore. There's no damage to the teachers, and there's plenty of harm on the other side of the equation to the kids. So let's get kids back together. I can see where people are afraid because they've been fed a lot of fear over a lot of months, whether it's the government in New York or in the federal government. But when you look around, schools are opened all over the world. There are schools open in Western New York that are not having problems. These are all wonderful beta tests. They're being opened up, and there's not a problem. And they're looking for excuses to say, well, we can't fit the kids in the classroom because they're not 6 feet apart. They don't have to be 6 feet apart if people are wearing masks. They probably don't even have to be 6 feet apart even without masks. But regardless of that, there's enough mitigation strategies that exist that these kids should go back to school. And every day, there are more New Yorkers, more people in the world that have natural immunity, and it's going to continue to go that way.
We're talking with Corey Hogan, Hogan Willig, and what they're trying to do is go after the school districts in Western New York to get them to reopen because children K through 12 are suffering. And Corey, from a personal perspective, obviously I wouldn't name any names, but I'm familiar with a couple of cases of friends of mine who have kids who are either in middle school or in high school. Yep. One of them has been diagnosed with clinical depression as a result of being segregated from friends and basically on his own. Another student who is a brilliant student finds it so difficult to concentrate on a computer and is so disengaged that this 95 level student is now getting grades like 17 and 27. It's a total disengagement and probably a sign of depression. So when you talk about children hurting as a result of not physically being in school with their cohorts, with their peer groups, you're not exaggerating.
Nope. Suicides have doubled for kids in a number of districts. The CDC director, Dr. Redfield, has said is that the increase in children's suicides and drug-related deaths have now exceeded the number of COVID-related deaths for kids. It is, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Most of these kids have got it, are dealing with it internally, and they're not running, although many are. The psychologists that we've consulted with have said, we can't keep up with the number of calls we're getting because of these poor kids that are dealing with depression, anxiety, everything that you're naming here. And I can't believe that people are letting this happen any longer.
Corey Hogan is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. One of the things that I find a little bit frustrating in talking about this, Corey, is the patchwork system that seems to be taking place in Western New York. It just seems like each school district has its own policy for when and how often and the number of kids who are back physically in school. How much of a challenge is it for you and the attorneys with whom you work to address each individual district based on the strictures they have imposed?
Well, because it doesn't kind of matter what they want to do. I think what matters is that what is the proper thing to do, and what's proper to do in one district is the proper thing to do in another district in terms of here's the protections you need to put in place, but the excuses that might exist differently from one district to another, it doesn't matter because they have nothing to do with reality. The reality is that these kids can go back to school safely, and that applies everywhere. And anywhere where they've gone back to school, it's been done safely.
Well, and on a macro level, there have been articles published over the weekend and earlier this week comparing, for example, states like California to a state like Florida. And despite all of the strictures and closures and shutdowns in California and the relative openness of the state of Florida, the deaths are virtually identical, irrespective of the strategy adopted at the macro level.
Right. Well, the other thing that's going on, we've been keeping track of what the statistics have been in Western New York and New York State since Judge Nowak issued his order opening indoor dining. And at this point, every statistic that you look at that is important, whether it's the positivity rate, whether it's the hospitalizations per 100 in terms of severity, whether it's new cases per 100,000, whether it's hospital beds, every statistic has been cut in half. Everything is going down and down. That's because of the natural immunity, and now with the vaccines, that's going to even increase it more quickly. What's happened here is that people don't know it, but probably every two people you know, one of them has had COVID-19, and it's probably every two out of three.
And yeah, that's very interesting. In the group of people with whom I associate, and it is a large group, those numbers are pretty much spot on.
Yep, that's the reality. People don't believe it because they talk about total confirmed cases. That has nothing to do with the number of people who have had it for a couple of reasons. One, 40 to 50% of the people are asymptomatic. They don't even know it. And then another chunk is the symptoms are so mild they don't even worry about it. And they don't even bother getting tested. They just go through it. The asymptomatics don't even know they have it. And so my law firm of 70, 75 people, probably 35 to 40 have already had it. Now, people may be running around with masks on and doing all kinds of things like that because they think they're supposed to do that. But the reality of it is that the people that the COVID-19 is not a good thing, but it's not as perilous as it's been made out to be. The people that end up with COVID and end up with death are over 55. It's 93% of the people that get it are over 55. And of that percentage, 94% have approximately 3.8 comorbidities. Those are national CDC statistics. So if you're dealing with anybody from 0 to 54, which is most of the students and most of the teachers, it's 7% of all the COVID infections, deaths, are in that category. The other 93% are 55 and older. And every age group you go higher, you get even a greater percentage. Between 0 and 14 in the whole country of all the deaths, there's been 140 deaths total out of 500,000. So there's no risk to the kids, and there's really, like so I said, there's no risk to the teachers. There hasn't been a death attributed to COVID-19 transmitted by a student to a teacher anywhere that we can find in the world.
You know, that's a pretty stunning bit of information, and we have a lot to cover because this is a subject that is on so many minds. I mean, anybody who's got kids who should be in school and they're not in school, this is a daily situation. We've had parents, we've had double income parents, one of whom has had to leave work, so they're home to supervise the kids' online education. You know, we hear in nursing homes the expression failure to thrive. And here among the younger people, kindergarten through 12th grade in our society, you know, we've got a failure to thrive as well, in addition to this sense of being socially isolated. And as we've discussed, the anxiety, the depression, the feeling that life is going by, and this feeling, Corey, and I suppose it because of their lack of life experience, that this is never going to end, that this really is the new normal. And there are kids who, you know, their frontal lobes aren't fully developed, so they don't have as much capacity for logical thought, and they think, well, this is the way life is always going to be. I don't want to be a part of it. And tragically, they're committing suicide.
Yeah, I think that they can't speak for themselves generally. So I think parents in Western New York, we are a good community. I love Western New York. So we got the hair salons back operating. We've gotten the restaurants for the most part back operating. We're going to get that curfew removed too, so that they can have their normal hours. We're working with Western New York sports. We're working with the hockey in the state. These are all things that are normal, and they should not be stopped because by somebody who thinks that there's a problem when the statistics are out there and showing that they are not a problem, and you're damaging people. Now that you got the most innocent group and the most pervasive group, and these are the ones that are suffering the most, and nothing has been done about it. Teachers and their unions or whatever the reason is, it can't go on anymore. It's not right. There's too much harm. It has to come to an end.
And we're going to talk about addressing that and how to bring it to an end when we come back. Corey, I know you've got some time blocked off for us.
Sure.
All right. Corey Hogan is with us, Hogan Willig, and we're talking about right now is getting your kid physically back into school and using the legal system to get your kid back in school. And if you are, as I am, and you know an awful lot of people, and you know an awful lot of people with kids who've been affected by this, this is a very, very important issue. I cannot stress the number of parents who, again, they're friends of mine, and you know we talk about this stuff, whose children are literally going through a hellish experience, and they really do feel isolated. They feel like they're not learning, and they feel like life is just going by, and it's never going to get any better, and it's so important, my personal opinion, to get these kids back in school. But there are hurdles. I want to talk about those hurdles. I want to talk with Corey about what his law firm needs and what it is going to do to remove these hurdles and the whole legal process, because, you know, the time has come, my personal opinion. 3:28 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll continue with Corey Hogan. Hogan Willig coming up on Bowerly. All right, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Not trying to steal Rush Limbaugh's music. I'm playing this as a tribute to Rush Limbaugh through the end of today's program, Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. It is 3:37. If you're just joining us, you have kids, you have grandkids. You want them in school full-time. They're not in school full-time. You are concerned about your child's learning. You're also concerned about your child's mental and emotional health. I want you to think back to being a teenager. Your body is a raging sea of swirling hormones and irrationality to begin with. Add in a pandemic and a lack of socialization, and you could be looking at people not developing along a timeline that is anything like acceptable. Corey Hogan, Hogan Willig Law Firm, is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Corey, to simplify it for those of us who are not lawyers, how will you and your law firm legally go about getting our children back into school? What do you have to do?
Well, I think we're doing this on a district-by-district basis. The numbers that I have are there's about 150,000 kids K through 12 in Erie and Niagara County. So we're not going to have 150,000 plaintiffs, but what we're going to have are going to be we're going to set up parent groups for each district, probably set them up as some form of an unincorporated but legal association, and then we'll have the parents group groups bringing a claim on behalf of their students. We'd like to have administrators. We'd like to have some teachers if they have the courage to step up there. All as part of people that feel that these kids belong back in the classroom. And then the defendants, we're working on the right way to do it so we have proper standing. But it's probably going to have to be the state of New York. It's probably going to be the New York State Department of Health. We're certainly familiar with. We're going after them. And probably the district, the Board of Education, and probably the union. That represents the teachers, and I think they have different union formations in each district. Because I don't know, we don't want any excuses as to why this should not happen. The evidence is clear, overwhelming. You couldn't get it any more clear when you have other schools operating in the world, throughout the world, not just in Erie County or New York or USA, everywhere in the world where they're doing it all safely and without incident. And as I mentioned to you before, we've taken a look at the studies, and I know it was one of the University of Edinburgh has asserted that there's not any proof anywhere that COVID-19 has been transmitted from a pupil to a teacher that has resulted in that teacher's death anywhere in the world. So that's kind of telling. And if there's a teacher that feels that they're in a risk group, and then there are certainly some that will be, then they shouldn't have to come into school while we're getting through this. But you don't punish 150,000 kids because of a couple of teachers that should properly perhaps not go to class until this pandemic is over, which I think within a month or two, there's going to be herd immunity no matter what anybody does, unless we end up with some crazy new strain, which is not likely. There's going to be herd immunity in Western New York. New York State is pretty close to it now. New York State's one of the top states, probably the top state in the country, where we've got a greatest percentage of people that have had the COVID-19. Despite all this stuff with Governor Cuomo and pauses and forwards and everything like that, The greatest percentage of people that have gotten COVID-19 are right here in New York State.
Now, I don't want to get too far into the weeds on this one, but I'm curious, under what type of law are you going to be pursuing this? Will it be under public health law, education law? Can you give us an overview of that?
Yeah, you start out actually with the New York State Constitution. There's a provision in the Constitution that provides a right to a free public education. And then you move into, like you're suggesting, different specific areas of law that require and provide for the education, free education of children, at least through the through high school. And before, with the different actions we were bringing, revolving around, let's say the hair salons, we were dealing with what we call an Article 78 proceeding, where we felt that the state and the local county and the governor, they were basically imposing restrictions that they didn't have the authority to do. They were so-called arbitrary and capricious. And we're going to make the same argument here that taking these health department rules, whatever rules they want to use, whatever they're interpreting that allows them to keep the schools closed, that those decisions are arbitrary and capricious, there's no basis for it, and these kids are suffering irreparable harm every day they're prevented from going back to the classroom. And it's been going on since last March. It's been a year.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to presume, just going out on a limb here, that you're going to take some flack from very, very powerful teachers' unions.
Sure.
And how are you going to deal with that? Because they're extremely powerful, very influential, and they speak with a very loud voice.
Well, they did their best to keep the Buffalo Public Schools closed, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And Judge Colavecchio made a decision that that their excuses, their reasons for not going back to school, were not. They didn't have the evidence to support their claims that there was danger to either the students or the teachers. And I'm hoping that when teachers take a look at the statistics and they realize that there's no danger to them and they start to understand the damage to the kids, that isn't that their role as a teacher is to take care of these people that are these young, innocent things that are put under their fiduciary control over the course of a school year. Their job should be to make sure that no harm is done, you know, just like a physician's oath, you know, do no harm. That should be the teacher's role when it comes to a student. Do no harm. And I'm hoping the teachers will see this and say to their union leaders, we've had enough of this. We want to go back in the classroom. We got to take care of these kids. They're our responsibility, and I've sat back long enough. I'm not going to let any more damage occur.
Now, I don't want to be accused of teacher bashing, but somebody I know has relatives who are teachers, and you know, I'm told that their attitude is, hey, I don't want to go back to school. It's a lot easier for me to teach from home.
Yeah, there's some like that, but that's the same. And, you know, there's good lawyers and bad lawyers. There's good radio commentators and there's bad ones, you know, and there's good teachers and bad ones. I think there's a lot more good teachers than bad ones. My kids went to school in Clarence Public Schools. Those were good teachers. They cared about the kids from what I could see. Not every one, but the vast majority. I think they're intimidated. They're afraid to speak out because they're going to get, you know, whacked at by a vocal minority that don't want to go back. But that vocal minority should not be allowed to do this damage to these kids any longer. It's not right. 150,000 just in Western New York. That's a lot of brains, a lot of minds that you are doing damage to that's going to probably reverberate for years to come. Not every kid, but a lot of them are going to be really hurt, and it's not going to be something that's going to go away in a couple months.
Understanding that you cannot know every sentence and every punctuation mark of every teacher's contract in Western New York, but generally speaking, are you able to address whether teachers' union contracts address situations like pandemics or unsafe work environments?
Well, that I think was what the argument was in the Buffalo Public Schools. Is that they claimed that there was an unsafe work environment, and they tried to bring in, you know, evidence to support that claim, and it wasn't successful. So they have an what their contract should say is, I have an obligation to teach these kids for 180 days out of the year, and I'm going to do my best to fulfill that obligation, and in return I'm going to get paid to do that because I'm entitled to compensation. But it's a two-way street. You have an obligation to teach, and then you have a right to get paid. But it's supposed to work both ways. Get paid, teach, do both. And right now there's not a lot of teaching going on, and it's not the majority of teachers' fault. I think the majority of teachers, at the end of the day, want to do what's right by their kids, and that's what I'm hoping for.
But, you know, I'm just thinking about the repercussions of this. Let's just say, hypothetically, that schools are reopened, and a teacher maybe with cardiovascular disease and maybe diabetes and kidney issues goes back to school, contracts COVID-19, and dies. Are you concerned that people are going to say, Corey Hogan, you have blood on your hands?
No, because, I mean, would I feel good about it? No. But there hasn't been one yet in the world that we're aware of. And if there are teachers that have that feeling that they're in this vulnerable class, which is what's going on now with the vaccines, it's being given to the older individuals in this country because they're the class where most of the average age of a person that dies of COVID-19 is 80, by the way, just so you know that.
Yep.
80. Would I feel bad? Yes. Would I think it was something that I did wrong? No. I will be proud of the fact if I can be successful in getting these kids back in the classroom. Just because you can't see the damage of these kids, you know, do we pray out all the kids that have killed themselves?
No.
In Las Vegas, with the fourth largest school district in the country, their suicides have doubled before they got back to the class. So what about all those lives?
No, it's absolutely unacceptable. You know, we're talking and we have discussed the mental damage to the psyche of young people without the life experience of you or my life experience. And there's also the intellectual damage that is being done. I mean, Corey, I have a horrible feeling that this has been a lost year for many of the best and brightest, that their interests have not been allowed to flourish or develop, and that they are going to be falling behind the rest of the world because they haven't been in school.
There's a list of, we're going to have experts bring in affidavits or testify, but they're telling me, these experts, neuropsychs, epidemiologists, pediatricians, that the distance learning restricts every aspect of learning. You have children with special needs that are denied state-mandated services. Kids from disadvantaged socioeconomic groups lose the worst. They normally, when you go to school, they get fed better. They mingle with other kids. They learn more, perhaps, than these the best and the brightest. And the social interactions that the kids learn from when they interact with their peers and with other teachers, that helps regulate emotions, I'm told, and develop social skills. And all of this stuff is not happening. And it's been a full year. And if you've got a 10-year-old, that's a tenth of that person's life right now.
You know, what do we do with the teachers with comorbidities? Do you buy them out of their contracts? Do you allow them early retirement? Do you give them the option of teaching, but the kids are in class watching on a TV screen?
Yeah, well, I think the Vice President Kamala Harris just said teachers should be in a group where they should be given the vaccine ahead of just about everybody else. They should be given, I think, a top priority in terms of the vaccines. I would vaccinate every teacher that wanted to be vaccinated. UB has got a new test coming out starting next month. 350,000 available tests per week. It's more accurate than any test we have now. It's cheaper, and it takes about 24 hours to get a result. So there's going to be better and better ways of finding out if anybody is actively carrying the vaccine. But saying that, kids are not good at spreading the COVID virus. They're not as effective as older people. And they're also very, very immune to it. They just don't die, and they don't get that sick. So you worry about the teachers, and those teachers that are older or younger, give them the vaccine. Why shouldn't we protect those teachers? There's nothing wrong with that. But let's get them back in school so we don't destroy these kids. We're losing in terms of future economic benefits, but like you said, these bright kids, billions and trillions of dollars. It's nuts.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, you've only got one shot at school, and you've got to make it count. Corey, we've got some people calling in who want to chat with you. Are you free for a while? Do you want to take some calls from folks?
This is very important. I'm happy to talk to anybody.
All right, excellent. Corey Hogan is with us. Hogan Willig, full disclosure, my daughter is an attorney there. And yes, Phil will be putting your telephone call up so I don't accidentally hang up on Corey Hogan. That would be highly embarrassing. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. And what Corey Hogan is trying to do here is put together groups of parents in the various school districts of Western New York, maybe with teachers, maybe with administrators, to go through the legal process to get our kids back in school so that they might flourish both academically and socially. If you are a teacher, if you are a parent, if you are a child, give us a call. 803-0930.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.